Beatitudes, what's he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about heaven. He's not too overly concerned about anything else that's going on in the world. You know, Jesus never taught how to heal people.
No.
He didn't. He didn't teach anything except for how to prepare yourself for the kingdom.
Amen.
And at the beginning of this year, the Lord laid on my heart, why am I teaching all this other stuff? When the only thing that really is of any use is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Right? And so we started in Matthew 13, and we're going through one parable after another parable after another parable. Every time that the kingdom of God, and you'll be surprised how many times the kingdom of God is mentioned in the Word of God. Amen? And so we're going through those. We're methodically rolling them over and looking at them and unburying the truths that are hidden in there. And today is not unlike all of those days. Because we're still going to be talking about the kingdom of God. Amen. We're going to be talking about His righteousness, His goodness, His love,
Amen.
His compassion.
Amen.
And His willingness to fill you with His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know that God's willing not to just give you what you have, but to give you more
Amen.
Abundantly than what you can withstand?
That's right. Amen.
The only thing that He's waiting for is a vessel that's waiting to be desiring to be filled. I mean, it's like I got this big picture, picture, a jug with a water handle on it, you know, and I'm wanting to pour that out, but you know, if I don't have anywhere to pour it, I just ain't going to pour it on the ground, so I need vessels. So Jesus said, let me make empty vessels, and guess what you guys are? Yeah, what we are, it's not you guys, it's me too. I'm a vessel needing to be filled.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. A vessel needing to be filled. Yeah. I need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit this morning. I need Jesus Christ to teach me. I need Him not this morning, but every morning,
Amen.
Every moment, every day.
Amen.
And I come
Amen.
To Him empty, way more than I come to Him full.
Yeah.
Amen. What happens if you're always full? You become stagnant. Anybody ever drink stump water? All right, stagnant water? Boy, dysentery like you would not believe. Amen? It's not good. But if that water is continually flowing, then it brings life. Life lives in it. And that's what God wants us, the body
Amen.
Of Christ, to be. Willingly poured out that He can refill us every day.
Living waters.
Yeah, living waters. Amen?
Bless God.
And where do those living waters flow from, George? The very throne room of heaven, right?
Right.
Today, as we're going to be looking into the Word of God, we'll be in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And this is the parable of the 10 virgins, all right?
Yeah.
And in that parable, what I got out of it through my studies this week, we need to come to get our lamps filled.
Amen.
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 I pray that we come to get our lamps filled this morning. So if you will, open your Bibles and read with me, because I'm going to go through all 13 verses, and then we'll back up and talk about them in just a minute. Jesus saying, "And shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom? And 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And then arose. And then all those, see, I memorized this in one type of scripture, and I'm reading it in another. This is why I like the King James, but the problem is that I memorized it in a different thing, so I'm stumbling over words because my mind's going somewhere that the words don't. So please bear with me. Verse 7, "And then those virgins, those gals, yeah, they arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also up the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he answered and said, Verily unto you, I know you not. Oh, watch therefore, for ye know not, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Parable of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Let's start with 13. Watch therefore. All right? What's that mean? Watch therefore? Pay attention. Wake up. Okay? Watch therefore. Because you don't know the day or the hour. Mm-hmm. One thing you do know, and we're going to talk about this. One thing you do know is whether your lamp is burning or not.
Right.
That's right.
That you know. All right? You know whether you have oil. You know whether you have an extra vessel for holding the oil or not. You know that. Question is, are you filling it? Question is, how do you fill it? Man, where the smart gals, I'm going to call them that, the smart innocent ones, right? They said, hey, go to where they buy it and go buy you some more. There's a lot of things that open up in this parable that Jesus taught about the kingdom of heaven. First, it talks about that there's some that are going to go and some that ain't going to go. But they all think that they're going to go.
That's right.
All ten of them have the same opportunity, right?
Sure.
All ten of them were there at the same time, and the lamps were given. Have you a lamp? 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 Hey, while you're here, there's some oil and some vessels. What you gonna do with it? Do you want some? Well, the smart one said, "Oh yeah, dude. I tell you what, I just might need a freshen up every once in a while."
Amen.
Hey, church, how about you? When was the last time that you went and had your lamp refilled? Amen? When was the last time that you really even noticed that your lamp was dry? Have you thought about that? Have you come to that realization that I'm not where I used to be? When I first got saved, boy, I was on fire for Jesus Christ. Man, I just wanted to tell everybody about the Lord. I got saved, and you know, I devoured this thing.
Amen.
I hung on every single jot and tittle that's in it. I held on to it. It was like, oh man, all I can do, I want to stay up another hour. Can I spend another hour in prayer? Can I spend another moment reading the Word? Oh, how I want to do that. Then it waned. How many of us are waning, right? The longer you stay away from the desire, the less the desire grows in you.
That's right.
Right? It isn't that God doesn't love you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that God doesn't love you. I'm saying that we, as the body of Christ, the church, have in these last 100 years in America, all right, 100 years, I'm not talking about last week, last 100 years in America, we've been moving away steadily from the cornerstone of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
That's right.
We've been building on something that is less than truth.
Right, right.
I say 100 years ago because 100 years ago is when all those other versions of the Bible started coming out. All right? It was around the 1880s, 1830s, 1880s, when a lot of things started getting really messed up.
Well, what we need is the more modern translation.
I don't need the modern translation. I need the real translation. In fact, I don't need anything else except the Word of God. And that's what we need to be looking for. So these five virgins. The teaching here, of course, is pointing to Jesus and his second coming, right? Right, that's this one and the next parable about the talents. That's what Jesus is teaching. Remember, he's just about ready to go to the cross. This is his teaching that he was giving his disciples just before the Last Supper. This is the one that he was going to pour out onto them. Hey guys, I'm about ready to die for the sin of the world. I'm about ready to become God's perfect lamb. I'm about ready to shed all of my blood. I'm about ready to take on the sin of the world. And the most important thing I need to tell you is this. And he tells these parables. He makes these teachings. So it's plain to see right off that there's two sets of people here, right? There's the wise and the foolish. They both have an invitation to the wedding, right? All 10 of them, y'all can come. How much of the sin did Jesus die for?
All
of it. How many folks are invited?
All
of them. How many folks are going to show?
A remnant.
Thank you. Amen. Just a few. Just a few wise ones, right? The fools ain't going to come. Don't be foolish with Jesus Christ today. All right? Don't be foolish with the word today. Don't think in your mind that you said a prayer 15 years ago and repeat after me and you'll be saved.
Amen.
Right? Repeat after me and you'll be saved. Anybody here got saved by that?
No.
Because it's not the words that you say that makes a difference. It's the oil that's in your lamp. It's the light that you shine.
Sure.
Now, if you don't shine your light, or if you suffocate that light, in other words, it's called quenching the spirit. We'll talk a little bit about that if the Lord allows us to get that far today. See, we need to understand where we are in history.
Amen.
These folks have the same things. They have the lamps were available. The oil was a free gift and it was available for all of the virgins, all of the people. There were vessels there that they were able to get. All right? It says that five were wise and five were foolish. And the foolish took their lamps and they took no oil. What good is a lamp with no oil? It's something you got to dust around that really doesn't work. What good is a Christian that does not apply the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life in a real and personal way?
Amen.
Amen? You're pretty much a dry lamp, right? Mm-hmm. Anyone ever try to light a dry lamp? You can burn, you can set fire to it all day long. It ain't going to do nothing. You need the oil in you. They took no oil with them. But the wise, they took oil in their vessels now and with their lamps. Now, there's two different pieces of furniture, I guess you could call them, or pieces of equipment here. You got the lamp. The lamps back in those days were kind of like, y'all have seen the movie Aladdin or read the book, right? And it's a lamp and it has a little handle on it. A cruse of oil, not Tom Cruise, but a cruse of oil. There's a little bucket of oil underneath that comes out. There's a wick that's wound up in the bottom and it comes out the top, right? And you light that, and it gives light. Well, Jesus said, once we're lit, we're supposed to give light to how much of the house? All of it, right? You don't cover the lamp up. You let it burn so everybody can enjoy the light.
Amen.
And so in that, that's who we're supposed to be. Jesus gave us the lamp, the only begotten Son.
Bless him.
That's what he said. I am the light of the world.
Amen.
Right? That's who I am. I am the container. All right, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to leave one, a Paracletus, a comforter, somebody just like me. I'm going to leave him here, and he's going to dwell on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. And as he dwells on the inside of you, you got to look like me. Right? You got to. We're supposed to be a light shining into the darkness, but what if you don't give off any light anymore? Mm-hmm. Or the light that you give off is a fake light.
Amen.
You know you can give a fake light?
Yeah.
These five foolish virgins, they looked like the others. Well, Jesus talked about this, about the wheat and the tares, didn't he? One of the other parables that we have already studied. So he went out and he sowed the good seed in the field. Oh, but the enemy came in and he sowed the tares and amongst the wheat. Oh, and as they were growing together, they all looked the same. I look out there, all I see is born-again believers in Jesus Christ, all right? I believe that in you, but I can't prove that. Not my job, all right? My job is to encourage the body of Christ to come to a realization of who they are in Christ and your greatest need.
Amen.
What is your greatest need? I need some fresh oil, all right? My oil has been in my lamp for a long time, and it's kind of got... Hey, y'all ever notice that if you leave oil out for a long time, lamp oil, stuff like that, kind of evaporates? Kind of evaporates and gets all tarry and nasty in the bottom? Well, if y'all were able to pop my top, right, and look on the inside, you would see a lot of nasty, corroded stuff. Oh, but God offers us a fresh dose of oil.
Amen.
If we come to
him.
Him. He offers us a new beginning every morning, every day. His mercy, even though I'm a nasty, crusty, corroded, dirty lamp, right? God says, I love that dirty lamp. You know what I got for him? I'm praying that he has a vessel, and I'm going to open him up and put some fresh oil into him that he might be acceptable on the day of the Lord.
Amen.
And catch what I said, acceptable on the day of the Lord. You see, the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. There were 5 that did not check their oil levels daily, right? They didn't check their oil levels. They didn't know what was going on, or they knew what was going on and didn't care. They became lackadaisical? Is that the right word? Lazy.
Oh, that's cute.
Amen. Right? They got lazy. They stopped reading their Bibles. They really stopped praying good prayers. And when I say good prayers, I'm not talking about, oh, Lord, bless me, feed me, bless me, make me wealthy, make me happy, make me fat. No, how about a prayer like this? Father, forgive me a sinner, all right? God, examine my vessel and find the sin that is in me and help me to purify that through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Teach me how to repent. Teach me how to die to myself. Teach me how to crucify my sin before the Most High God. When was the last time the church prayed that? Oh God, show me your ways that I might not sin against you. How about that prayer? Now that's one I think worth praying. Man, I don't need to be blessed by God. I need him to kill me. Amen? When he kills me, then I'll be blessed. Because what's stopping the blessing of God in my vessel is I got too much garbage in it. And I keep talking about myself because I don't want to run you off. First time we had a decent amount of people in church since folks started getting sick. Amen? So now is the time of faith. Now is the time that we need to confess before Jesus Christ that I need something fresh.
Amen.
Amen. Because the world is dying. The world is drying up. The world is looking for a light shining in the darkness.
Right.
Amen. And we are supposed to be that light.
Yes.
No. Sorry, my flesh almost took off. Amen. But see how I backed off that milk carton there I was going to stand up on? I'm not holier than thou. I'm a sinner just like you. All right. So the sinner needs self-examination.
That's right.
Do you know that?
Yes.
Judge yourself and you will not be judged.
Amen.
Right? When was the last time you honestly, all right? No faking, no Christian ease stuff, no pretending that you're something you're not.
Right.
But you came to the foot of the cross broken, dirty, unworthy. Amen? Do you know that you're not worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
It is by his grace you are saved.
Yes.
Amen? Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a lot of folks that say, oh, Lord, look at me. I'm so good. You got to save me. I'm just like the best. Stop it. Right? Because you're not.
That's right.
But Christ paid for your sin before you accepted him. It's paid for. It's done. Now, what are you going to do with that? That needs to be up in our forefront of our mind.
That's right.
Because we are the body of Christ.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 9, mm-hmm. verses 27 and 28. Oh, shoot, this is here. It's my handwritten notes. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There's a couple key words here. How many times is it appointed?
Once.
Does God know when you're going?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Will you live 1 second longer than that?
No.
Will you die 1 second before that? So quit sweating it, all right? Stop worrying about it, all right? Stop being afraid, all right? I have got to ask the second part to you. Are you looking for Jesus Christ to come back?
Amen.
Yeah. If you're really looking for Jesus Christ to come back, you need to check your lamp. Because your light might be pretty dim right now. It may have been a long time since you really came to the foot of the cross and confessed your sin to get forgiveness, to get that fresh anointing of oil. You know, I said it last week. I'll say it. I've said it thousands of times over the years I've been preaching. God will not drink out of a dirty cup.
Amen.
Amen. He said, oh, you whitewashed sepulchers, you look great on the outside. Sunday morning, you're pretty. But on the inside of you, your tomb's full of dead men's bones. Church, I think if we would honestly examine ourselves, we would find more death than we would life in our
Amen.
Personal lives.
That's right.
Oh, but God. Amen. But God. But God can breathe life into that dead person. God can breathe life into that dead spirit. God desires to give you that living water, that fountain of oil. He's waiting. He's waiting at the right hand of the Father. He's waiting right now, saying, come to me. If you're empty, come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me. Brokenhearted, come to me, and I will heal you. I will make you whole. Amen? So what is stopping us? That's me. I'm full of pride. I don't think I need to go. Amen? I'm good enough. Dude, I got my facing book. Right? I got my Twitter account. Man, I got all of my antiseptics. I'm locked up in my mama's basement surrounded with bubble wrap. I have everything I need. I'm not scared. Oh, but yes, you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yes, you are. If you forsake the assembling of yourselves because of a virus, you're afraid.
That's right.
All right? I'm afraid I'll get somebody else sick. What was the starting of that sentence? I'm afraid. I'm afraid I will contract it. Well, what's the starting of that one? I'm afraid. Did Jesus give us a spirit of fear?
No.
No. He gave us a spirit of a sound mind. He gave us courage. He gave us faith. And we need to have that faith in these times of darkness more now than probably we have ever seen in our lifetimes.
Amen.
I mean, it's for times like this he called us to be illuminated.
That's right.
It's times like this. Because I don't know when he's coming back, but I do know what my oil level is.
Amen. Right?
Fear where you stand, but staying with God.
There you go, amen.
That's the fear.
Yeah.
Where do you stand?
Where do you stand? Amen. Because really and truly, it's appointed unto everyone to die. It's appointed. There's a time.
Yeah, right.
Tick, 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 died. Tick, 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 died. But after death, guess what happens? You enter into eternity.
Yes.
Now, you're either eternally with Jesus Christ or eternally without Jesus Christ. But right now, this little bit of speck of time, which the Bible says is but a vapor, it's like, what's that Kansas City song? Kansas? We're all just dust in the wind, right? That's all we are. We're animated dirt balls in this time of that we're in. This is all we are.
Amen.
All right? And why hold on to these things of this world? Because they're all going to burn with a fervent heat.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing's going to last except your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all that's going to, or your lack of relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's all that's going to last.
Right.
So hold on to the truth. See, are you really anticipating? Are you looking forward to his coming again? 2 Timothy 4:8 puts it this way. Hence, there is laid up for me, you too, if you believe in Jesus Christ. All right, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Woohoo! Man, you know he's got a crown of righteousness for you if you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior. He's got something for you.
Amen.
Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give. It says me, but I'm going to say y'all, us, anybody who believes. All right? At that day. At what day? At the day of the resurrection. At that day. All right? And when you die, your physical body dies, you go to paradise. All right? Oh, those old songs. I said that word and it just came. Paradise cannot be all I heard it was. Right? Anyhow. Yes, it can be. It's more than you ever heard it was. Amen? When you die, that's where you're going to go. And there's going to come a resurrection. Amen? And the dead in Christ, woohoo! Those who passed away, they're going to rise first. So praise God, if I die today, I'm going to be anybody. anybody who's alive on that day.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'll be there before you, right? Or you'll be there before me. But a lot of folks died before I was born. And guess what? They'll be there before me.
That's right.
But we have a price and we have a reward. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not unto me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing.
Amen.
All right, do you love his appearing? Are you excited that we're closer to the end than we are the beginning?
Amen.
Are you really expecting Jesus to come back?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
How's your oil level? Pull the dipstick. Dipstick. All right? Check your oil. What is happening in your life? Are you really shining the love, the grace, the mercy of Jesus Christ in your day-to-day life? Yeah. We need to be excited about the appearing of Jesus. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Back to the parable. I said all that just to say this. Back to the parable, verse 2. Five were wise, five were foolish. They took their lamps. And at the midnight cry, we've even done that. Praise God. Well, let me ask you this. Has your light dimmed over the years?
No.
Praise God. There's one bright, shining, proud of yourself, aren't you? Did that hurt to pat yourself on the back of that arm? Right? But praise God. If it hasn't, glory to God for you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm struggling. All right? I'm a sinner, right? And I'm not as on fire today as I was when I first got saved. Oh, I wish that I was, but life kind of got in the way, right? It's heavy, it's hard. It's dim where it used to be shiny. Is it possible that the majority of the church has quenched the Holy Spirit?
Amen, yes.
Okay? Quenched him. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Holy Spirit. Quench means to put out. Now, I know through the promise of God's word that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit never leaves the believer, right? You can't get rid of him. He's in you.
Amen.
But you know what you can do is you can put out that fire. The coals, the embers will burn until the day. But we can stop feeding the fire. All right? We can stop reading. We can stop worshiping.
Right.
We can get all self-consumed. The things that might quench the Spirit of God, and I was praying about that, and I in my mind, I kind of listed some of these here. When we rely on outside resources other than the Holy Spirit.
Right. That's right.
Isn't that what Israel did when God was sending manna every day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want meat. You know? I'm tired of banana. I'm tired of this stuff. I eat it every day. Well, wait. It was everything that your body needed. Think about this. Israel walked for 40 years in the desert and never had to buy new shoes.
Yeah.
Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. Every morning there was fresh manna for them. For 40 years of a stiff-necked, rebellious people. Church, are we relying more on our 401ks than we are on the Holy Spirit? Are we relying more on what I can do?
No.
See, I struggle with that, folks. I mean, some of y'all are more holy than I am. Praise God for that. But as for me, right, I labored with my hands my whole life. That's a perfect fits floor installation. That was me. That's what I did. That was my identity. And if I wasn't working, I wasn't worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then God called me to this. Well, you got to rely on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You got to.
Amen, bro.
You know, he told me to sell my truck. Sell it. God, what am I going to do to make a living? You're going to trust me. Or you can go back to the way of the world. You can, I mean, I'll love you either way, Curtis. I'm not going to stop loving you. But who are you going to trust more, me or you?
Yeah.
Praise God, I chose to trust him because I'm wearing out. I am not what I used to. When I was 18, oh my goodness, I truly believed that I could stop the world from turning if I could get a deep enough gopher hole and a strong enough fence post. I would stick it in that and I would stop the world. And I could do anything. I was 18. Man. I'm well over 50. I can't do nothing. Amen. Right? Okay, relying on someone else besides him. When we think or speak of him in something less than what he actually is. Do you know you quench the Spirit when you start talking down about the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
You quench him. It's not that he's lost any of his power, but we stopped recognizing the power that he's given us.
Right.
Your lamp just got a little dimmer.
Right.
When we suppress his work in the church, not using the gift that he gave you. Mm. How many of y'all have a gift from the Holy Spirit?
All of us.
If you are born again, you better raise your hand.
That's right.
All right, because he gave you at least one.
Yes.
Now, what are you doing with that gift? Oh, well, in the next parable, he talks about it. Some invested it. One buried it under the dirt. Hid it. All right, what happened to that guy that hid the gift? Oh, you wicked and unfaithful servant. That's what Jesus said to him. Oh, you have these wonderful gifts God gave you. He gave you these great gifts of God. But we quench them by not using them.
Mm-hmm.
When we make our religion better than our relationship with God.
Amen.
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 When you do that, I'm a member of the Most High, Most Pious, Most Holy Church there ever is. Stop it.
Amen.
Stop it. If you find the perfect church, don't go there because you're going to mess it up.
Right.
Listen, the thing is we are all broken people.
That's right.
And when we start worshiping the creature rather than the creator,
that's right.
God turns us over to a debased mind to
Amen.
Do those things that are
right.
not natural.
Right.
How many in the church are debased in their mind, in their
yeah.
thinking? God's given you over to that.
98%.
More. Amen.
98%. What ears you have, my wolf.
Better to hear you with, my darling. So, when we despise or distrust biblical truth. Do you know when you don't believe or you believe science over the Bible, you're quenching the Holy Spirit of
Amen.
God?
Amen. That's right.
The scientists say, if you do this or if you do that, you'll be safe. The Bible says, if you trust me, whether you're alive or dead, you're safe.
Amen.
Amen. Right? Now the Bible says, lean on me and not on your own understanding, and I will direct your paths. But the world says, no, you've got to believe Dr. So-and-so because he has all these pieces of paper stuck on a wall. You know what? I could go to my computer right now. Well, I don't have a computer. I could go to my, it's a square Apple thing, iPad. I'd go to my iPad, and by the grace of God, if I could make it talk to my little printer thing over on the other side of the office, if I could make those communicate, I could print any diploma you want. Right? I could. And I could even seal it with a great seal of Charity Bible Church. Right? But does that make a difference? You know what a PhD stands for?
Yeah.
Piled high and deep.
Yeah.
Right? That's a PhD. You're piled high and deep. Who cares?
That's right.
I would rather be called by God than put into practice by man.
Amen.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against education. Somebody's got to read those books. You know what I study?
There you go.
Amen.
This one.
Amen.
Now, I do have a couple of other things that I look into, but if they're not written before 1800, I don't pay them any mind. They need to be garbaged. Anything written 1800 backwards is good. Matthew Henry, Matthew Pooley, men of that character that put their whole life into studying a language that we might understand better. Amen.
Andrew Folks. Murray.
Yep. Amen. Anyone back of those times?
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And so anyhow, that kind of stuff. We need to believe the word of God more than we believe men. When we diminish his activity in the church, you know, when we really stop thinking about God as God, when we're driven by fear and not by faith, you know, you quench the spirit of God.
That's right.
When you
Amen.
Believe the lie over the truth. Right?
Yeah.
So, even thinking of that, if Jesus was to come today, how's your lamp look? Right? If he comes today in the midnight hour and the trump of God sounds, which one of the virgins will you be? Which one of the versions of the virgins will you be? How you like that? Play on words. Ooh, I'm so smart. SMRT. Which one would you be? Would you really be trusting God with the fullness of your heart, life, everything that's in you? Would your light be shining in the world in such a way that they see your works and they glorify the God? The God in heaven, not a God, the God
Amen.
In heaven. Do you know that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble?
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Who needs some more grace today?
Oh,
oh. I need grace. I need his mercy. I need a fresh anointing of the
Amen.
Spirit of God, even
Amen.
Right now as I'm talking. Mm-hmm. Because although my mouth is saying one thing, I got an active side behind my ears right over here, and there's a knot. All right, it's my sin knot. It's the one that my mama used to hit all the time. And so if I'd act up, she'd smack that knot. You know, the stripes that bruise the flesh cleanse away evil. Oh, when's the last time we taught that to our children? Anyhow. But, you know, there's a knot that my self goes into, and God tries to kill that guy all the time, drags him out, beats him in the street. He needs to be killed. And even as I'm preaching the word, my flesh is trying to escape out of my lips.
That's right.
Amen. So pray for me as I go over this next thing here. In James chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. James talking to the church. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enemy against God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God.
Amen.
Ooh.
Amen.
Man, that's uncomfortable when I read that. What does that say? Curtis, if I'm more friendly to the world, that makes me an enemy of God? Remember, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. The things that tell me, the world tells me some things. And I don't, if we believe them, we'll be sucked into that.
Right, amen.
The world, you know what the world will tell you? You're a monkey's uncle.
Yeah.
You're an absolute mistake from a gazillion million years ago. Whoops, there was humankind. Where God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of the Most High God. Which one are you going to believe?
Amen.
God says there's an appointed time. The world says if you breathe outside of a mask, you're going to die.
Amen.
I got news for you. You're going to die anyhow. Right? You know, nobody gets out of this life alive.
No.
You know, we're all going to die. Take a deep breath. Relax. Trust God.
Amen. Amen.
Either you got a promise in Jesus Christ or you don't. And if we don't die, guess what's going to happen? There will come a trumpet sound. There will come a voice of an archangel. There will come a day that the dead in Christ shall rise. And those of us that remain, bam, we'll be caught up together with
Amen.
Him and to be with him forever.
Amen.
Amen. There's coming that day.
Right.
It hasn't happened yet. You know why I know? Because I'm here. Can't talk for you guys. Right? But I can talk for me. Because I know my spirit speaks to his spirit. I know. And when I do come to that confession, Lord, I'm empty. Will you fill me? Guess what he
Amen.
Does?
He
fills me. And he wants to fill you.
Yes.
He knows your vessel better than you know your vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And he has an oil of an abundant supply that he wants
Amen.
To give you.
Amen.
He wants to pour that in you.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is we got our caps on too tight. You know, I think I know more than I ought to know.
Right.
I'm covered with pride, as the scripture keeps on saying here. Do you think the scripture, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lust or yearns to envy, but he giveth more grace?
Amen.
For he saith, God resist the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
Who's he resisting? The ones that think they already made it. You know? The proud, the puffed up. Those who say, I have nothing to repent of. I ain't got nothing to repent of. Man, I'm so good. Look at how good I am. Stop it. You're not.
Right.
You're a dirty worm.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Don't stop thinking of yourself more highly than you ought.
Amen.
Repaint, you thinner, and thin no more. Right? Stop. Repent, sinner, and sin less every day.
Amen.
He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. All right? What does it mean to submit to God? It needs to be his will, not my will.
That's
it needs to be
right.
His way, not my way.
Amen.
It needs to be his truth, not my truth.
Amen.
It needs to be the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of earth.
Amen.
It needs to be first in my mind.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. Submit to God. And then you'll be able to resist the devil. Now I put a couple of words in there. All right? Now what it really says is resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh.
Amen.
Oh, that's getting your vessel filled up. Draw nigh. Come to Jesus. Come to the place where the oil lives. Come there. Draw close to him. Draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to you.
Yes.
Oh, cleanse your hands, ye stinking. I put stinking there. Sinners. Purify your nasty. I put nasty. Hearts. Make up your mind, you double-minded.
Amen.
Double-minded.
Choose you today who you're going to serve. Right? You going to believe the scientists that tell you it came from a monkey? Or are you going to believe Jesus Christ who said you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of the Most High God? What you believe?
Jesus.
Jesus, amen. Right. Say his name.
Jesus.
Like you mean.
Oh,
Jesus.
Amen. Right. Amen. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to humbleness, heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Amen.
Who's going to lift you up? He's going to lift you up. When's he going to do it? When you humble yourself before him. You know, when you humbly come before the Lord, confessing your sin, admitting that you're empty, right? Because if you think you're full, he ain't going to give you no more. Right?
I'm full. I got everything I need. I don't need nothing. God says, you're right. You don't need nothing. You know? But I'm coming someday. And when I come, your lamp's not going to have enough light, enough oil to share, enough light to share. The neat thing that he says in that parable there, when the foolish come to the wise and says, give me some of your oil. You know, if the wise would have took all their oil and poured it into their vessels, it wouldn't do any good.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Oil doesn't make fire. Oil doesn't make light. Oil is the source, is the fuel for the light. Right? Jesus is the light. The oil is the Holy Spirit. When you quench the Holy Spirit in your personal life, it doesn't matter. You know, you gotta have a light source. That light source needs to be Jesus.
Amen.
He's the igniter.
Amen.
Right? There's a lot of folks that you might have a full tank of oil, right? But you never lit the light. You never burned off any. What happened to that oil? It crusted. It got thick. It became unusable. It became like the Dead Sea. Right? All that beautiful water from the Galilee and the Jordan flows down into the Dead Sea and stopped. And it became full of minerals. It became full of all the good stuff in the rest of the living water. But because it didn't ever empty out, it became unusable and unlivable.
Amen.
You might have a lot of unlivable, unusable water in you. You might have a lot of oil. You got a lot of knowledge of the word, but you've never applied the word in your life in a living way.
That's it.
It's not a matter of how much you memorize about this book. It's a matter of what you do with it.
Amen.
Amen. So what are we doing with it? I got to tell you, I'm... And then he goes on in verse 5 in the parable again. The bridegroom tarried, and they all slumbered and slept. Now, I did a little Greek learning here. I'm not a Greek kind of guy. I barely talk American. But anyhow, the Greek word for slumber is noustabzo. Noustabzo. Okay, and it means to nod off, to grow drowsy, to become lazy or comfortable.
That's what the word slumber means. I think 99% of the church is in that.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
But then there's the rest that sleep, and that word is cat you do. Kit you do. Kit you do it. I don't know if you can do it or not. But anyhow, it's kit you do. And it's a deep sleep, something that's hard to awaken out of. See, what happens in a Christian life, you get born again. Bam! Excitement, power, fire. Woohoo! Yay! Let's save the world! Let's go out! Let's do it! Let's do it! Let's do it! And then you grow weaker and lazier and lazier, and all of a sudden you're sitting on your couch saying, man, I wish my cousin could hear that sermon. Right? I wish my neighbor could hear that one. Boy, that was a good one. But we never take a second and apply that sermon to our personal life.
Right.
We go to sleep. We get lazy.
Mm-hmm.
We get comfortable. Oh. Being comfortable is a very dangerous place to be.
Amen. Right.
It really is. Because what happens, I don't know about y'all, but when I get in my chair at the house, I pull up my little cozy blanket on top of me. Boy, I stretch back. You know what happens? I go to sleep.
Yep.
Pretty soon I'm cutting logs like a lumberjack, boy. Right? Just like, I don't know about y'all, but that's what happens to me. My wife can testify to it. What happens in the church when we get comfortable?
Right.
Did Jesus ever call the church to be comfortable?
No.
No, we're called to be living on the danger zone, right? We're called to be the front line of the battle. We're called to be dying to ourselves.
Amen.
Oh, that's a dangerous place to be. Because if I die to myself, that means I've got to admit that I'm a sinner.
Right.
I don't like to think of myself as a sinner. Because Jesus died for the sin of the world. And I prayed the prayer 15 years ago. But I never did anything with that. I came to church every Sunday. I got my padded seat. I got all comfy. I showed up to church a couple times a week, and I listened to the sermon. I even came up and I offered my prayers on the altar before the Lord. Then I got up and I walked out of church, and I forgot every stinking thing that I just confessed.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever happened?
Yeah.
Here, let me raise both my hands. It's happened to me. The Casting Crowns has a song, "Something Happened Between the Altar and the Door." I think that the church is asleep right now. And I truly believe that this virus that's going around the world is a wake-up call.
Yes, amen.
Amen? I really believe that. And I believe the parable about the wheat and the tares. This very well may be an angel coming and separating the life from the dead.
Right.
All right? The wheat from the tares. And I ain't going to cast a stone. I don't know who's what. It ain't my business. But I do know the ones that have enough faith not to forsake the assembly of each other are closer, all right, are closer to the wheat than the tares are.
That's right.
Because when I get away from the body, when I get away from the teaching, I get weaker.
That's right.
And when I get weaker, who does the enemy want to devour? Those that are on the outside.
Amen.
If I was a hungry wolf, I'm the wolf, right? And I'm coming, I'm looking for little lambs, I'm looking for sheep. Am I going to go where the majority of the sheep are? Nope. I'm going to hit those on the outskirts. I'm going to hit those that are just, they're
right,
kind of
right.
Lukewarm.
No,
oh, praise God. They have no protection. They're not under the umbrella, right? Because we're afraid. We're too scared. We're afraid. If I come, someone will die. Again, who's sovereign? Do you really, folks, do you really, really, really believe that one thing you do is going to make one person live longer or shorter than anyone else? What did it say? It is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. It's appointed. So, are we nodding off? Have we grown lazy, lackadaisical in our Christian walk and our beliefs? Today, the church is in one of these two states, I truly believe. There are very few that are awake.
Amen.
Most of us,
amen.
Most of us are just nodding off.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking Christ, but we're not living Jesus in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really, really close to that midnight cry. Mm-hmm. I know one thing, that time keeps going, right? And there comes a time of the end of the Gentile. There comes a time of the church age.
Yeah.
And we've got to be closer than when it started. Okay?
Amen.
Started on Pentecost. And we're 1,000 years past that. A couple thousand years past that. We're bound to be coming to the end of that time period.
Yeah.
And there will be a cry.
Right.
The question is, will you have any oil in your lamp when it happens? Do you know what today is? Don't give me a date. You know spiritually what time it is, boys and girls.
The day of reckoning.
It's the day of reckoning. Amen. I like that. It's the day of reckoning. It is the day that we need to decide. Who are you going to serve?
Amen.
Remember this as the church in Romans 13, 10 through 14. He says, charity, love, worketh no ill toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, all right, knowing the time. What time is it, boys and girls?
Late.
It's late, amen. It's coming close to midnight, right? It's late. There's going to come a call. Knowing the time, that it is high time that we awaken out of our sleep.
Yes, amen.
Paul wrote that. It's high time that the church awakens out of their sleep. Mm-hmm. For now is salvation nearer than what we first believed. Oh, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, not in wantonness, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And make no provision for the flesh.
Amen.
To fulfill the lust thereof. Okay. Are you willing to trim your wick?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you know what that means? Trim your wick. And if you're thinking about it, who here had those get kerosene lamps? Anyone ever? All right. And you burn it one time, and then it just kind of turns to ash there. What does it mean to trim that?
You gotta cut it out.
Cut the dead thing off, amen. You gotta cut the dead stuff. What happened if you tried to light that old charcoal stuff? It smuts. Schmutz. You got a lot of schmutz?
Yeah.
Maybe you tried to light your life without trimming your wick.
Right.
Amen. Got a lot of schmutz in your life? It's time to trim your wick. Jesus said this in John chapter 15. The Lord just gave me that. Y'all got a few hours?
Amen.
Amen. John chapter 15. Y'all already know this, the vine and the branches, right? Y'all already know the theme of the story or the thought of it. Well, there's something about trimming in there. Y'all got something needs to be trimmed off? Well, come on now. Jesus saying, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. How do you get into the vine? Can you get into the vine any other way except through Jesus?
Yeah.
All right, there's only one way. And if you ain't bearing fruit, what's he do to you?
Cut it off.
Trims it off, all right? He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he prunes it. All right, if you're bearing a little bit of fruit, what do you need God to do for you?
Keep pruning.
Prune it. Cut off my dead stuff. Trim my lamp. Make me shine a little bit brighter. Cut off some of the things that ain't working.
Amen.
All right? So he pruneth it. And that it may bring forth more fruit. What's God want you to do? Bring forth fruit. What's it take? Pruning. What in your life needs to be pruned? That's between you and God. None of my business. Y'all fix it. All right? You fix it. Ain't nothing I can do for you. I can make a list of things. That's not my job. My job is to tell you what Jesus said.
Amen.
Jesus said, you're in the vine. You are part of the vine.
Amen.
You need to remain in the vine.
Amen.
And if you're in the vine and you're not producing fruit, there's some dead schmutz in you that needs to be cut off.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit itself except it abide in the vine.
Lord.
No more can ye except ye abide in me. Abide, what's that mean? Means remain, hang out with, stay. Forsake ye not the assembly.
That's right.
Right?
That's
Forsake not. Abide. Stay with it. Don't quit. We are not those who fall away, but we persevere.
Amen. Right.
Have you got it? Do you got any persevering spirit in you? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to lay count the cost? Are you willing to put it all down on the line for Jesus Christ? Because you can do nothing except ye abide in him.
Amen.
Man.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jesus goes on and on and on and on and on.
Yes, he does.
All right? But I'm not. Because I love you. And it's not my job to chew your food.
Right.
All right? I prepared a plate for you. What you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
I am not like your mom and dad and make you set up a table until your vegetables are gone. Right? There it is. You going to eat it? You going to do it? See, I can't make that decision for you.
Amen. Right.
You can't make that decision for me.
Right.
What you do next will reveal what you really believe about God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to shut up. Because I don't know how to close a good sermon or a bad one. But I do know how to shut this, right? Because there comes a time that the Holy Spirit moves on you and says, you've said enough, let me do my work.
Amen.
So I pray that the Holy Spirit right now is working in each and every one of your hearts. And if there is an unrepented sin in your heart right now, prune it.
Amen.
Prune it.
Because
you don't know the day and you don't know the hour. But you do know this, he's coming. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for the great word that you've given us today.
Yes.
I pray, Father, that you have spoken to your church. Oh, Lord, let your face shine upon us. Let your mercy rain down on us. Let your truth penetrate our stiff neck and hearted hearts.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would move on us with compassion and not with judgment. That you would move on us with mercy and not condemnation.
Yes.
Lord, that you would encourage us that this is the day of salvation.
Yes.
This is the day of renewing. This is the time. Father, don't let any of us leave this place with unrepented sin. Don't let any of us leave this place without a freshening anointing of the oil of the Most High God. Jesus, we love you, we praise you, and we ask those things in your high and wonderful name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.